Malicious hackers see coronavirus chaos as an opportunity. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, demystifying the digital economy. I'm Molly Wood. At a moment when you would strongly prefer it to stay healthy, the Federal Department of Health and Human Services was the target of a cyber attack. Reports say the agency's servers were hit this week with a distributed denial of service attack, where hackers overwhelmed the system with millions of simultaneous hits. And that's not all. An Illinois Public Health Department website was also hit, and scammers are trying to spread fake information posing as the CDC. Mark Rash runs a cybersecurity consulting company and is a former prosecutor at the Department of Justice. He says dealing with the coronavirus makes the government more vulnerable.
We're much more dependent now on the government's continuing to function because it's doing critical things. So HHS in particular, DHS, the Department of Defense, all these critical infrastructures become much more critical when we become more dependent upon them. And even in the commercial sector, we are now having a lot of people working from home, which means that those people now have to have ubiquitous online connections to secure networks. So we've now created a lot of vulnerabilities, and we really need to secure them.
Does the federal government have the capability to do that hardening right now? Do we have the people and the talent in place?
The federal government's always had a problem with getting enough resources to do the kind of security that they need to do. Partly it has to do with the pay structure. Partly it has to do with their ability to recruit individuals to do it. And a lot of it has to do with the kind of resources and how they dedicate those resources. And now, even more than ever, when people are working from home, they have fewer resources stretched thinner, which makes them even more vulnerable. You know, most of these government agencies go through these annual reviews against a set of government standards, and they get a scorecard, and they're lucky if they get a B+. But when you really need to rely on critical infrastructure, that's like getting on an airplane where the inspection said, well, you got a B+. That's not good enough. You really need them to have a much better and more robust infrastructure. And one of the things that HHS did is while they were being attacked or in anticipation of the attack, they did beef up their security.
What's the kind of worst case? I mean, are we at a position where a hack like this on Health and Human Services or another agency could meaningfully impact our response to the coronavirus outbreak?
Yeah, absolutely. Every scenario that we've written for a cyber war, and I'm not suggesting that this is a cyber war, a cyber war would involve an attacker who would attack us at a time when we are most vulnerable and most dependent upon the infrastructure. So there's always this idea that you have a cyber war connected with a kinetic war, meaning, you know, bombs and guns. But you could also have a cyber war connected with some other national crisis. Now, I'm not suggesting that this is what's going on, but it's at the times of national crisis that you are the most vulnerable.
Mark Rash is a cybersecurity consultant. Bloomberg reported that U.S. officials believe a foreign state was behind the HHS cyber attack, but haven't confirmed which one. And now for some related links. Mark Rash also told me that this is a time when hackers will try to take advantage of all kinds of chaos and fear by tricking people into clicking links or opening programs that can plant malware. And because many people may be working from home on insecure systems, they could become vectors for digital infection as well. One intelligence firm said hackers were posing as officials from the World Health Organization to steal personal information and bank details from people. And that state-sponsored hackers in North Korea, China, and Russia would use the cover of coronavirus to target other governments like Italy, the U.S., and Japan. Basically, at this moment in time, in addition to washing your hands and staying 6 feet away from everyone who isn't family, it's time to step up your digital hygiene, too. Don't click anything that you haven't verified. And if anyone calls you asking for personal information or bank details, maybe even including family, don't tell them. All right, here's what else we're watching in tech. Good thing about tech companies working with each other and the government? A bunch of them have teamed up to actually try to defeat misinformation online about COVID-19 and coronavirus. And now we find out what can actually be done at scale. bad thing about tech companies working with each other and the government? Previously in China, now in Israel, where it is happening, and possibly here, where it's being discussed, governments are hoping to use location data from cell phones to try to map the spread of coronavirus, potentially also to determine whether people are staying away from each other like they're supposed to, and predict future outbreaks. According to the Washington Post, multiple sources stressed that they for sure, would not use this information to build a government database of people's sensitive information about literally where they go and when. Yeah, that sound you hear is security researchers and privacy advocates around the world shouting out with one voice, "We told you this would happen eventually." More on this story in the days ahead. Finally, some quick do's and don'ts for remote working. Do someone compile an audio supercut of all the times that barking dogs pop up in radio shows and on podcasts over the next few months. Do over-communicate to the hilt, I beg you. Confirm that you have received an email. Give an ETA for whatever you're working on. No one can stop by your office and see you, so you have to type all the words out loud. Don't forget to mute your mics. And bonus tip, if you're the meeting host on Zoom, you can mute everyone yourself. Use this power wisely, friends. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.